We're back with you on The Sports Leader, Dieter Kurtenbach, until 10 p.m. Very happy to be joined now by Jason Cole, longtime NFL analyst and the author of Elway. He joins us on the UMA guest line. And, you know, Jason, we've been so neglectful of these other three great playoff games that we have this weekend here at KMBR. I was hoping you could help us out a little bit with talking about Kansas City and Buffalo and Tennessee and Cincinnati and Tampa Bay and the Rams. Is there any game that you'd like to start with off of that slate?
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by the Rams going up against Tampa. Traveling across country, short week because of the Monday night game. And can Matt Stafford really shake this? And can he do that in game against Tom Brady, who's done everything with his talent while Matt Stafford has not? That's not Matt Stafford's fault. He's been lionized, pun intended, for an entire career. So I'm really interested because I think the Rams are playing great football, and I just think the Bucs have so many injuries now. It didn't show up in the first game, but that was Philadelphia. The Rams are a whole different deal. The other thing is the Rams have a pass rush that can get into Brady's face from up front. They can crush the pocket, and that's always – that's tough for any quarterback, but is the biggest kryptonite for Brady in his career. And the last time we really saw him melt down in a game like this, it was against Denver with Von Miller. Now the Rams have Von Miller, but they've also got Aaron Donald up front. So I'm fascinated by this. There might be too many injuries in this one for Tampa to overcome. Although, got betting against Brady's.
I made that mistake last week. That worked out fantastic for your boy.
I knew that game was going to be ugly because I just thought Philadelphia was awful. So I'm not trying to taunt you. But that one I didn't expect to be competitive. This is a different deal. And Rams beat them earlier this season.
You feel like Tennessee and Cincinnati has the same level of competitiveness?
Oh yeah. I like Cincinnati. You look at some of the inside numbers on that one, Cincinnati's yards per play differential versus Tennessee and things like that. This one favors Cincinnati. Like this is one where you could definitely see another road team. When in fact, I think I'm probably going to end up picking two road teams and I'm almost going to pick a third. Not that I'm a gambling man, but
right.
In these games, I would say that I could see picking the Bills over Kansas City, but to start with saying Cincinnati, like Cincinnati's done some really special things, and I know they played really tight against the Raiders, and they got a little fortunate with that one call. I think that would have been a touchdown regardless.
Agreed.
On that play, but they certainly got helped by the refs. Where I thought Zach Taylor didn't really pounce on the opportunity was early in the game where they're only up 13-0 when they had such great field position on those first three possessions. That game should have been more like 21-0 the way it was playing out. And Zach Taylor, I didn't feel like he was up for that big moment. And it makes me wonder, is he going to be up for that kind of big moment against a coach who's been there and done that? Not championship level. Vrabel hasn't won championships as a coach. But he certainly lived through plenty of games like this as a player.
Yeah.
But am I really picking Ryan Tannehill over Joe Burrow?
Well, think about it as Derrick Henry over, Jamar Chase. I don't know, Joe Mixon.
Is Derrick Henry going to be Derrick Henry in this game?
Yeah.
After time off. And is he going to really be able to put his foot in the ground? I don't really think makes much difference because I think Dante Foreman is really good too.
Yes,
I don't think that's really the problem. I just wonder, can Tennessee keep Cincinnati under 23 points? Because I think if Cincinnati gets over 23 or even 223, I think it becomes a problem game for Tennessee. I really do. So I'm gonna play a hunch and I'm gonna say Cincinnati can do it because they played great football this year against pretty tough opponents. So I'm playing a hunch and saying that Cincinnati will do it. Then that leaves us with the toughest game of the week.
Yeah, it is one hell of a matchup, Buffalo and Kansas City. It kind of has that old 49ers Cowboys vibes about, you know, kind of this is your Super Bowl champion, though this is in the divisional round, kind of getting at it even earlier than those NFC championship games back in the day. I don't know. I'm in on Buffalo, but it's Patrick Mahomes. I know that doesn't carry the same weight as Tom Brady, but it carries some weight when you're talking about, you know, who you're going to take here. Does Josh Allen just have the composure to be able to go into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes and come out on top? I kind of wonder.
Well, that's fascinating to me because I look back at a couple things. Okay. I look back at, remember when Mahomes coming back after they win the title 2 years ago, but Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league, right?
Right.
And they play Baltimore in that opener. And it was like, oh, really? You thought he was MVP? Let me show you how this is done, right?
Yeah.
And that was the last time that I remember the Chiefs playing a complete game from start to finish, right? Where they just said, we're going to hammer somebody. Every other game that they play, even this last game against Pittsburgh, as much as they hammered him, it was like, okay, it took a quarter and a half for us to wake up, and you got your, you know, that cute little TJ Watt, you know, fumble return for a touchdown. Yeah, you have fun with that. Watch how it's done.
Yeah.
They can't do that in this game. And I think that Mahomes knows that, and I think he's going to be geared up for it. Okay. At the same time, I always go back to that Houston playoff game a couple of years ago with Josh Allen, where, you know, he does that strange pitch play at the end of the game that ends in a fumble, and you're like, all right, what was he thinking there? Now, he's come a long way from that and certainly improved over the last two seasons and done some magical things, and, you know, you can't get any better than what they did against New England this last week, right? You score on every single possession except for the kneel down. Like, that's perfection, right? And you're even throwing balls away that become touchdowns, right? Like, just crazy stuff like that, right? But it's on the road, and it's Mahomes, and if I'm betting on somebody to have a yip, it's going to be Josh Allen. It's sort of like when you play the Raiders these days.
Yep.
I'm not afraid to play conservatively against them because somewhere along the line, I feel like, you know, and I'm not trying to make fun of Derek Carr, it's still reality. He had 14 fumbles in 18 games. You're just sitting there going, there's going to be a chance that I get to him that he's going to fumble. And if I can get it to go my way, I flip the game based on that play. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of look at that and go, yeah, I'm going to bet on Mahomes in this one. And it's tough, though. I mean, like, you're looking at 31-28, 35-33, you know, something crazy like that where one play flips the game.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's not that difficult to make a bet if we're talking just quarterbacks on who's going to win Green Bay and San Francisco. Rodgers is playing at a level that is unfathomable. I mean, I just went and spent the last couple of days watching every single one of his snaps. I mean, this is a master of the craft at the highest level of his career. I don't understand how he's doing some of the things that he's doing. It is truly...
Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's the top level of his career. Because if you go back and you look at the championship season, right, and you go back and look at the Atlanta game and then the Pittsburgh game, it's like, oh, my God, what's that? But he's pretty darn close, 10 years removed from it. I will agree with that. There's no question.
Nevertheless, what he's doing is awesome, and we saw the duality of Jimmy G last week, where it was clean and things were going great and you're feeling good about the Niners in the first half, and then it all flips on the backside in the second half and Dallas mm-hmm. gets into the game. Does San Francisco have enough around Garoppolo to beat the Packers? Because this is still a head coach and quarterback league with an emphasis on the quarterback. Is there enough with San Francisco to make up for that deficit at the QB position?
I put it this way. If they were to play five times in Green Bay in this situation, how many times do you think the 49ers would win?
Once or twice.
Once?
Yeah.
I'm going to go once and lean towards maybe one out of six, right?
Okay. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, I think they can, because they have an assemblage of some significant factors. I mean, that running game slows down games. It forces action. It reduces the number of big plays that you ask Garoppolo to make, right? Mm-hmm. So that when he doesn't make those plays, or misses, wide open, or throws an interception where you're going, really, that was the throw you made? It doesn't hurt you as bad. But, it took everything they had to beat Dallas, and Dallas is kind of a substandard team. Yeah. Green Bay is not substandard, and it's not, it's not going to, I don't know, what's the weather supposed to be, 5 degrees or something like that?
7 in the second half. Yeah, not Celsius.
Yeah, and I just don't like, I know Garoppolo's played games in the cold. He played for New England and all those other things. But come on, it's Aaron Rodgers, and they're playing as good as they can. I will come back to this. Matt LaFleur a year ago.
Yes.
The end of the first half. And I know it was Mike Pettine making the decision, but, LaFleur was on the headphones
right
when they called that defense that Brady destroyed. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game down, they're taking field goals. That's, again, a situation where a young coach had the yips. And it's mm-hmm. funny because the history of the NFL is written by people chasing young, vibrant coaches who are going to, be great and all this other stuff. We're always looking for the 30-something coach who's going to be fantastic and this and that.
Right.
8 out of the last 10 Super Bowls have been won by coaches over the age of 60.
Wow.
And I know 3 of those are Belichick, but, there's an Arians in there and a Reed and Pete Carroll and Tom Coughlin. There's some other guys in there. So sometimes having a veteran coach who's been through wars, I think, means a lot, especially in really tight games. And this era of the league is games are tighter than they ever have been. So I always come back to, is that young coach going to survive it? And frankly, Kyle Shanahan had his yips in the Super Bowl when
he had some last week too. It has been
it's
not as bad as the Super Bowl.
That.
Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't. And the ones in the Super Bowl, you always come back to, and you go, Kyle, you're so great to get that team out to that lead and in that position.
Yeah,
just run the ball.
Just bring it home.
You had three plays where it's just play meathead football. And I think Kyle learned from that, which is why they're so dedicated to the run right now.
Right.
And not taking chances and not exposing Garoppolo to more opportunities to screw up games. And so I think LaFleur is the one who's now more likely to have that kind of a mistake. But it's happened. Guys outthink themselves in these situations. And I kind of get the feeling that if this game is close, if it's that 1 out of 5 game and you get into the fourth quarter of a close game, LaFleur could make that mistake just as much as you could see Garoppolo make a couple of mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be an absolutely fascinating game, an Elite Eight, if there ever was one. And it's always an elite time when we are able to have Jason Cole on the show. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you on the other side, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care.
Jason Cole, we like to do something on this show called the Best of KNBR Today on KNBR Tonight. That's when we find some of the best sound that we heard on the airwaves during the hours preceding this fine show. And we make sure that you don't end the day without hearing it again or for the very first time. That's coming up on the other side of these messages. Kurtenbach with you until 10 on The Sports Leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.